For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome everyone. This is the Haftorah for Parsha Shoftim. This is a little exciting. We're into the fourth week of comfort after the third week or the fourth week. We had Nachamu was the first. The first week was 1196. The second was Akev. The third was and this is Shoftim. This is the fourth week of comfort. And there was an unusual thing, which is that the Jewish people didn't want to be comforted. In fact, if you look in last week's Haftorah, which that was the unconsoled one, we were unconsoled. Part of the reason we were unconsoled was that Hashem had told the prophet to comfort us, that to give us a message from Hashem. And our answer was, we want to hear it from Hashem himself. We don't want someone else to say, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. We want to hear from Hashem. You know, we want to hear from Hashem. The major factor of the destruction of the temple was that Hashem's direct presence wasn't with us, that he was angry with us, so to speak. And so we wanted to hear that everything was, you know, someone says, okay, everything is fine. I accept your apology. And they send you a message, but they don't speak to you. So we want to hear the person say it in their own words, that they've forgiven us, that everything is good. So that's going to happen now in this week's Haftorah, that Hashem says, I'll comfort you. You no longer do you need to be indirect, you know, to hear it from the prophet. One of the unique things about our relationship with Hashem is that we have a direct relationship. We don't have intermediaries. We don't have anybody in between us and the Almighty. When we say a blessing, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you. We talk direct. We don't let anything get in the way between us and Hashem. That's the way we would communicate. So this Haftorah kind of is that message that Hashem is giving. And it begins on chapter 51 in Yeshayahu. Anochi Anochi hu menachemchem. So it says, I. What's the double I? So actually, if you look at Anochi, anybody know where we have Anochi in the Torah?
The Ten
Commandments. Very good. Yeah, the first word of the Ten Commandments. When Hashem came down at Har Sinai, now what had happened was the first Ten Commandments, the first Anochi, was broken. And Hashem gave us another chance. That's the Anochi, Anochi, the two Anochi, the second time. There's always second chances. The Christians, they always stress the original sin. And there was an original sin. But actually, the idea is that Hashem created us of flesh and blood, that we are going to fall, we're going to make mistakes, but we're not hung up on that. Because Hashem created us to make mistakes and fix our mistakes. We're not, they have this idea that people are doomed to sin, or they have this and that. We believe that Hashem put us in a world where we're going to fall. It says, Sheva Yipol Tzadik, the righteous person falls down seven times. That's a lot to fall down seven times, but then he gets up. Our job in life is that just like a child that learns to walk is going to fall down a few times, we know that we aren't going to do everything perfect. That's not what we're about. Nobody's perfect. We'll make mistakes, and then we'll fix them. So the tablets that we have are the first set was broken. It's the second one that's going to last forever. And so the first temple and the second temple were destroyed, but the third temple will get it right. The third time it'll be forever. And so we don't let our mistakes get the best of us. We can't relive what we've done wrong, but we can certainly fix it. And that's the power of teshuva. That's where we want to go. And so that's somewhat the message over here, the Anochi, Anochi. Some people say that the double comfort is for the two temples. You know, it happened twice. Now, there was 400 years in between. I mean, that's a nice amount of time, but still, we were hoping that it would last forever. And so that's the the message over here. Anochi, Anochi, hu menachemchem. So either again, the I or the two sets of the, there'll be a second giving of the Torah. Now, by the way, Elul, which we're in now, is the, that's when Moshe went up the second 40 days to get the Torah the second time. And do you know when that culminates?
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur, right. That's when the whole, the idea that we'll make mistakes and we'll be forgiven is part of the process. That's what people don't get. In other words, that when people think they have to be perfect and therefore they make a mistake, that our goal is to deal with things, to learn to always make the best decisions we can make. Not to be perfect, not to deny we make mistakes. The goal is that whatever situation we find ourselves in, we can come close to Hashem and we can fix things. And that's the, you know, they kept the broken tablets in the ark. They had the pieces of the tablets, and that was part of the message, that even the attempts, you know, the child, like, he learns to walk and he falls down, and but we know he'll get there, he'll learn how. We also know that that's part of our job. So Hashem says, I am going to comfort you. Okay. Now, one of the problems is very interesting. When will this comfort come? When we're in exile? Which, by the way, is now. We're there now. We're in exile. We have a lot of things that are wrong in the world. We live that reality all the time, that we live in a world that's not ideal. The Jewish people are dispersed. We're far away from the families that are dispersed. There are Jews that live lives of danger, that have worry of anti-Semitism, and they have people that try to build nuclear bombs to wipe us out. And there are all types of problems about being in the exile. The basic problem, though, and that's sometimes people don't... Are you done, more or less?
Yeah, sure.
It's fine. The basic problem is that we feel distant from Hashem. And when we had a Beis HaMikdosh, if we felt estranged, all we had to do was go there. In other words, if we felt we didn't see Hashem, we didn't feel Hashem, we felt it, we could just go to the Beis HaMikdosh, see miracles, get enthused, be changed, you know, be recreated, feel life anew, talk it over with the boss. You know, today you could go to the Koso, and it's not a. I don't know if I told you, I had a very funny experience when I went to the Koso. I had studied in Israel for about a year as a student, and then, you know, thank God I got married, I started my life, I had my kids. I couldn't get back. Because when you're your family, how do you go without your family? And who can afford to take their whole family to Israel? And you know, and once, you know, I had to wait till my babies grew up, and then we had new babies, right? And so, like, I had been almost 30 years since I'd been back in Israel.
Wow.
I went.
Were you in shock?
I was absolutely shocked. What had happened was my daughter had lost her luggage, and they messed up her flight, and so they gave her a credit for all her troubles, but it had an expiration date on it. And so she couldn't use the credit. So that was my ticket to Israel. That was about 2 years ago. So I went a few times to the coastal. It doesn't always happen on the first time, by the way. Sometimes you go there the first time and you expect too much. Nothing works scripted. It just doesn't always. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes people go to Israel. My father, who's not particularly observant, he's very traditional. He told me, you know, that when he went to Israel the first time, he felt like he was coming home. He wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
In other words, he thought he went on one of these Federation tours, and you know, but he somehow, like, he felt the emotion that I'm coming home. He'd never been there. You know, he grew up in America, was here his whole life. He'd been in the service, and you know, but he, you know, the Jews, if you never know when you'll get that inspiration or that feeling. So I think the second or third time I went, I don't remember, but I felt like, it wasn't a voice, but I felt like Hashem was saying to me, where have you been? It was just like, you pray, and sometimes you feel Hashem hears you, and sometimes your mind wanders, and you don't know if your feelings came through. And sometimes, you know, when you can go to the Koso, at least it's easier to get the feeling that your prayers... something, you know, that you accomplish something with prayer. There's a certain interaction that you have, and sometimes you can feel it and sometimes you can't. And so at that time I felt it. It was like Hashem was like opened up to me or whatever. We are in the exile, and we don't have a way of feeling Hashem. And that's really what we mourn. And that's why so many people become estranged and they leave Judaism, because they don't feel, you know, they come to synagogue and they're bored. Talk to anybody who grew up, you know, the worst thing is high holiday prayers, you know. They're bored, you know, they sit there for hours, they don't connect. But if somebody had a meaningful experience, so then they would be committed and they would, you know, but that's part of being in exile, because we can't go to the temple, we can't experience the people they interact. Some people, they interact with Jews that are, themselves are self-hating Jews, or Jews that are a little strange, and they say it's not meaningful to them. And that's also part of the Korban. You know, the Jewish people are wonderful. You can, but if you don't see it, if you can't experience it, then people, they say, who needs this? And then they go and they disappear amongst the Gentiles. And so part of that is what we really mourn for, and we need Hashem's presence back again. So Hashem's going to come to us in the exile, and he's going to say, okay, I'm going to comfort you. We're going to see that we'll have to, as a people, we have to reach a certain point that will bring the Mashiach or Hashem. If we don't reach that point, so to speak, then Hashem's going to send the Mashiach anyways at some point. But there's a certain point as a people where we can get our act together and Hashem will come and comfort us. And at that time, we'll be spread out amongst the nations. Now, if you were to go to the Jews of Iran and say, guess what, you can come back to Israel, they're afraid. What do you mean, come back to Israel? We got to be careful what we say. The government's listening in on us. And if you talk to the Jews in many countries, they're afraid of the Gentiles. How would we go back? How can we leave? So Hashem speaks to them at this point. He said, "Mi at v'tir, who are you afraid of? Me enish yamus? Are you afraid of people that, you know, people are human and they die?" You have nothing to worry. In other words, you're afraid. Who are you afraid of? Are you afraid of Obama? Are you afraid of Putin? Are you afraid of Hezbollah? Are you afraid of Me'enosh Yamus? Are you afraid of humans that are flesh and blood that die? That Umi ben Adam Chatzi Yenosin. Now, this is the expression throughout Tanakh is that people sometimes our enemies are like grass, and grass just withers up. You know, sometimes you see the grass and it's full bounty and you think, wow, look at that, and then it's all just cut down. And so the analogy is that you know, sometimes Jews were surrounded by Gentiles, by armies, by many, many enemies, and those people, they're humans, they disappear, they're like grass and they wither. V'tishka Hashem Osecha, and Hashem is coming to the Jewish people and say, you know what, you forgot me, you forgot I made you. No teshemayim, and you forgot I created the earth. V'tifka tamid koyom, and you live in fear of the Gentiles. Nechama sametzik, because you're afraid of the oppressor, you're afraid of the nations. Kasher koni lahashkis, and you're afraid that they have plots to destroy you. It's so interesting. When I grew up, it was Stalin, you know, and we didn't even know it, that he was plotting to kill the Jews. And, you know, now it's the Iranians that are plotting to kill, you know. But there's always someone that's plotting to kill the Jews. That's the fear of the people that are trying to destroy us. Why should you worry about the oppressor's fury? Hashem is trying to tell us that all of these powers that frighten us and that conquer us and that have been our enemies, they're just a drop in the bucket, so to speak. Maher, verse 14, Maher Tzor Lepaseach, it's interesting translation, they're different, but basically very quickly the situation will change and the oppressors will disappear. And you won't die, L'shachas L'yechzer L'achma, and you won't be lacking. In other words, if a person feels in danger, he doesn't see how it's possible for him to come back, or if how he can stop our Gentile oppressors, Hashem says it can happen very quickly. Verse 15. Now you might say, how is it possible? Vanochi Hashem, I'm Hashem, Roge Hayav, Yomugal. Hashem is the power of the seas. He's the power of the waves. Hashem, in this word, Tzvakos, the reason I say, when you use that name to refer to an army, you could say Tzvaos. But when you use it to refer to Hashem, we try not to say Hashem's name. So that's why you say Svakos, like Elohim. You just put a K in there so that you don't actually pronounce it. This name of Hashem, when it's you, the Tzava is like an army, or an army is like. huge amounts of people. The Chabad used to have a youth group. They'd call it Sivyos Hashem, right? The army of Hashem, or the. But when you use it to refer to Hashem, it's the idea that Hashem has millions and billions and trillions of forces available to him. In other words, Hashem is Sfakos. He has the whole world at his fingertip. He's unlimited in his powers. In the High Holiday Prayer, sometimes we talk about like the different types of angels and forces, and we only see sometimes down here, but we don't realize the person shouldn't think Hashem can't help him. Hashem has the ability to. It's interesting also, you know, in the prayer of Shemona Esrei, almost the first prayer is that Hashem can bring back the dead, you know. Hashem, can the dry bones, Hashem can bring them back to life. There's nothing, we shouldn't, a person should never underestimate the power of Hashem. And sometimes people, oh, it's too late for me. It's not too late for anybody. Hashem, you know, there were people that said after the Holocaust, we were gone. There were many people, Holocaust survivors, that gave up because they felt that there was no Jewish people left. They felt that that was it. That, you know, too many people were wiped out. There was just no, there was no chance. It's never too late for Hashem. And people, when they came out, you know, when they started Zionism and talking about going back to Israel, people said, it's been 2,000 years. What kind of pipe dream is that? And when Jews in the Soviet Union said, we want to leave, they said, nobody leaves here. It's an iron curtain. And so we're living at a time when those things now seem so basic to us. Yeah, we do have a state in Israel. We came back to Israel. Yeah, Jews got out of the Soviet Union. You know, so miracles happen. So whatever problem we say, you know, we're not well, we're too old, it's too late for us, whatever, somebody's too estranged. No, everything is possible. We should never say it's beyond the ability of Hashem. Hashem has, Hashem Svakos, the name Svakos means that Hashem has the multitudes. That's how they usually, he calls it Master of Legions. So that's the problem with the translation. When you read something like Master of Legions, it doesn't mean anything. You have no idea. Hannah, when she prayed, she couldn't understand why she couldn't have a child. She just couldn't, it was beyond, she said that she looked at Hashem and said, Hashem, you're in charge of the whole world. Can't you just give me a child? You know, can't you just, you know, that you're, but she prayed to the Hashem Svakos, the Hashem of the, she was thinking, whenever you, the prayer refers to the vast power of Hashem. So you use this word multitudes. Legions mean like the, if you've ever seen an army march by the, you know, in the hundreds and thousands, you know, you see so many men, you just go, you can't imagine the sheer number. That's the reference of when you see that in prayer. But that's the Hashem Svakos Shemo. Okay. Verse 16. And Va'asim Dvori V'Ficha. Now, if you remember, even Moshe Rabbeinu was not sure that he could take the Jewish people out. He says, I don't know what to say. So what did Hashem tell him? Don't worry, you know, I'll tell you what to say. Hashem says, I'll give you the words. Well, but sell yada, and you know what? I'll keep you in the shade of my hand. That also, like being in Hashem's shade, it's like a protective shade, like a child stands next to his father. So like we're in Hashem's shade, we're next to him. And I'm the one who made the world and the heavens. And you know what? I say to the Jewish people, Zion is another name for the Jewish people. It's interesting, when they recreated the state of Israel, they weren't sure what to call it. So some people wanted to call it Zion, but Israel won out. But Zion is another name for the Jewish people, the word Zion. They called the movement Zion. These were just people that sat around looking at a chumash trying to figure out what would be a good... But Zion also stands for the Jews. So Hashem says to Zion, that's us. The word Zion, by the way, means the Jewish people is supposed to be a light to the nations. The word Zion means a sign. In other words, they have a message for people. They carry a message. The people that carries a sign or a message, that's what the word Zion means. That we're here for a reason. We're here to teach others. But Hashem will come to Zion, and the message is, Ami, you're my people. If you'll remember in some of the earlier Haftorahs that Hashem was saying how my people had strayed, and people felt that maybe we're not Hashem's people anymore. He kicked us out. And Hashem says, you're Ami. that's such a theme, because we live in a Christian world where their whole philosophy is that Hashem rejected us. And it's so silly. It's so false. All you have to do is read what they call Hashem's words. And Hashem's message is, you're my people. So they always like to quote when Hashem is angry and he's telling us, stop doing bad, and you've done bad, and I'm going to, So they always like to say, you see? But then in the same book, again and again and again, Hashem loves us and never rejects us. And Hashem says that you're my people and you're the one I'm going to bring back, not some other people. It's not this silly, foolish, it's not intellectually a religion that it stands up to. Part of the problem is because they use our books. So they can't use our books to say that there's a different religion. It doesn't, but that doesn't bother them. They're not really into the philosophy of it. But it's so clear that Hashem did not reject the Jewish people. And we have 7 weeks of prophets to tell us that we're Ami, we're his people. Lemur, tell Zion, tell the Jewish people, Amiata, you're mine, you're my people. Now, next thing is very interesting. We mentioned this type of word, Hisori, in the Kabbalah Shabbos. This is a great word because what it means is that sometimes you're not enthusiastic, or you're half asleep, or you don't have the power. And there's a concept that you can awaken the power, that you can snap out of it, so to speak. Hisori means, in modern Hebrew, we say Hisoris, which means like words that wake you up, so we're kind of like asleep right now, and so Hashem says, wake up, snap out of it, get, he's so when it comes to Shabbos, we try to get try to get ourselves in the mood for Shabbos. He's so like, wake yourself up, and that's important too. Like, we have to realize that it's upon us to change our mood, to put ourselves in the mood to pray, to accept Shabbos. So Hashem says, he's so re, wake up, but it's more than awake. It means more like give yourself energy, like give yourself, get enthused. But you have to do things to, there was a, sometimes the prophets needed music to help get themselves enthused. Because the music has that power, it can help put a person in the mood. Or we have different things. If you remember, Yitzhak was pretty depressed about Esav. He wasn't the best kind of son, and he told him, maybe if you'll make me a nice steak dinner, I'll start, I'll be able to give you a blessing. I'll be able to appreciate you. Right? Esav, for all of his bad qualities, showed his father and parents a lot of respect. And so he felt that I'll be able to bless you if you, go and hunt the animal and make me a knight. But sometimes you have to do things to get the feelings going. So he's so rekumi, get up. There used to be a song like Rise and Shine and Give God Your Glory, Glory. Those. But
you went to
right?
camp?
Yeah, of course. Everybody went to camp. That's right. But that's because they took he's so re means like, arise or wake yourself up, and kumi, get up. In other words,
it's reflexive. Like, cause yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's Yerushalayim. Now, part of the reason that we can't get up, and part of the reason we're so depressed, is that we went through a Holocaust. We went through a hard time. So Hashem speaks to that. Asher shesisti miyad Hashem es kos chamas. You had a bitter cup. You drank the bitter cup. And you didn't only drink it, you drank the whole thing. In other words, we had our full share of that really nasty, there's the idea of a cup is like a person's future. And when a person drinks their cup, it's like, we drank the whole cup. Ein menahel lo mikol banim. We don't have any leaders. We don't have, nobody seems to know, nobody's here yet who can lead us out. This word, by the way, also is used in most yeshivas have what they call a menahel. That's like the principal is called the menahel. There's no leader. He's the one who's supposed to be the leader. I don't know, head of school, principal, but menahel is the, You'll often find that is the Hebrew title, or the, if you ever go to, you know, like a school or yeshiva, and you, they have the head of the school in Hebrew on their office, it'll say Menahel. That's their official title, is like the leader, the director. I think the director of the school. Hey, Menahel Mikolban, there's no directors. The Jewish people's in a rut, and we can't find the right person to lead it. And amongst all the different Jewish children, all the Jewish movements, Ein Max Biyad Mikol Banim Gadel, and all of the different groups, no one seems to have the perfect way back yet. Shtaim Hinei Kresicha, twice you've had calamities. You've had two big destruction of the temple, two big exiles. Miyadula Hashod Vasheva Vara Vacherev. We know all about the Shod and Shever and Rav and Cherev. Shods are like armies. Shevers are like breaking forces, like bombs, catapults. Rav is hunger. Cherev is the sword. Mi anachemcha, who can comfort you? I mean, look what we've survived. Look what we've been through. What do you mean, just wake yourself up and forget it? It's look at all the suffering we've had. Banecha ofu. And our children, the young ones, are supposed to have all the energy, they fainted. Shafu Barosh, they're falling down everywhere. Ketoya Mikmar. And I don't know what a netted wild ox. We're like, I'm not sure what the metaphor is, but it means that things aren't good. We're like, we're lost. Hamleim Chamas Hashem, we felt the burden of the anger of Hashem. Garus Elokecha, the rebuke. When someone's angry at you, like, you don't know where to hide. You know, when somebody's like very upset with you, it's like, where do you go? Like so we had the rebuke of Hashem, like Hashem was upset with us. So 21, Lechein Shamu Nozos, please hear this. And yeah, you poor one, you afflicted one. That's from the word ani, you poor Jewish people. And we're like drunk, except we didn't drink anything. Drunk, it means when a person can't seem to think straight. So when a person has so much troubles and sorrows, they're drunk. They can't think straight. They don't know what to do next. It's like you deal with one problem after another. Ko amar Hashem Adonecha, the Hashem your Lord says, the Fal Hashem Velo Elokayich Yorivamo. First of all, Hashem says, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to take up your cause. Hinei lochati miyad ches tosterel. Now you've been drinking all this bitter cup. I'm going to take it away. You've had enough of this bitter cup. I'm going to take it all away. No more suffering. No more Holocaust. No more anti-Semitism. No more bitterness. And you won't have to drink anymore. You've had enough punishment. That's part of the message of the comfort. Verse 23. And you know what? I'm going to take that cup and I'm going to give it to Hezbollah. I'm going to give it to Iranians. I'm going to give it to anybody that's to the Nazis, to whoever was against you. They're going to be the ones. Asher Omer Nashech Ashki, those were the ones who said you should lie down and we'll step on you. The Jews in Poland used to have to, the Poles were just awful to the Jewish people. They would they would pick on Jews, and they would make, you know, try to, they would tell you basically, lie down and we'll step on you. Those people, Hashem is going to give them the cup now.
Turn okay. The other cheek and you get smacked there too.
You get smacked there too, that's right. It's been an awful exile. We're fortunate that at least from the anti-Semitism or the direct anti-Semitism, we don't suffer as much here in this country as Jews in other places have. We suffer in other ways. We suffer by the, you know, Jews that have gone lost and children that have gone lost. And every exile has its challenges. But that's Hashem is telling us that he's going to take the cup away. And to those people that want to step on us, they're going to get it. Okay. Uri. And this is similar to the other word, he's Uri. It's wake up. Livshi Uzek. Get dressed with strength. This word livshi is a great word. It means like just put on your a malbush's clothing. It implies that if you need strength, the same way you put on clothing, you can just clothe yourself with strength. You know, just a person has the ability to put himself, you know, just like if you're cold, you put on a garment and you warm up, you can clothe yourself with strength. Wake up, get, you know, sometimes a person when they're in bed, they feel like I can't get up. and what they, you know, just it's too cold or too hot, it's I don't have the energy. And the person kind of psychs themselves up to give themselves, okay, they try once, they're going back in, then they give themselves the energy to get out of bed. So that's described over here. The Jewish people feel like, it, you know, we don't have the energy. So Hashem says, you know what, you'll get dressed with your energy. You put on your energy, see your livshi bigdei, and put on your glorious garments, your shalayim, irak hodesh, your holy city, ki lo yosef yavu b'cha oro v'tame. And you know what, you won't have any more Palestinians and Arabs and uncircumcised and impure people will go there. Verse 2, Hisnare me'afakumi, again, get up from the dust. Shvi Yushalayim, come back. Hati Mosera. And sometimes we couldn't come back because we were had handcuffs on or because we were bound. We were enslaved. And so Hashem says, open up the things that bind you. Open up the things that prevent you from... Hashem's going to open them. You know, it's like the slaves had like... they had leashes around their necks. So Hashem says, Shivya Basi, the Jewish people is like held in prisoner. So Hashem says they will come back. Verse 3, Ki ko ma Hashem, chinam nimcharti. Hashem said, you were sold for nothing. Velo bekesem niglu, and it won't take money to get you out. It's an interesting discussion. It's very poetic. I didn't have something that struck me as far as what the deeper meaning of it is. Like you were, when you were sold without a price, and then... sometimes people are they feel that they have a certain fate that they're stuck in, like a servant was sold. Here we were sold without reason. In other words, it won't take money to get us out. That's but it's an interesting I'm open if anybody has any ideas what he's saying with that. Maybe sometimes in Egypt there's a certain amount of slavery you got to do. There's like a price you got to pay, and so Hashem is saying you won't have to pay the price. Verse 4, Ki ko amar Hashem Elokim Mitzrayim yored ami, my first, you know, you've been there before, you've gone into exile before, lagur sham bashur ve'efes, and you've gone there temporarily, and then meanwhile you've been afflicted by the other nations. Va'ata mali po, Hashem says, you know what are you doing where you are? What are you doing out there in Atlanta, Georgia, or other places? Now it's time to come back. Ne'um Hashem, Hashem says, Ki lachak ami, we were taken away from our homeland, our place where we belong. People that they praise themselves. We live in a society where people think much of themselves. They're very arrogant. It's interesting. The politicians are so arrogant. You know, the people, they know everything. They're going to do everything. The places where we live, they don't have the right values. The Hashem's name is not respected. It means more than that. It's worse than not being respected. Let's see. It's he says the
blasphemy.
Yeah, Menoites means like they make disgusting. Lekein yada ami. Therefore, my people should know my name. So it's interesting. Again, this really, really speaks to us. You know, we find ourselves amongst the Gentile nations. We find ourselves and scattered around and not knowing Jews that don't know that we're Hashem's people. And Hashem is saying that I'm going to speak to you. My people will know, and we have to learn Hashem's name again. Lachain b'yomo ki ani Hashem u'vedaber. Hineini. I'm here. I'm here, Hashem's going to say. I'm ready. Here I am. You know, you've been waiting for me. Now it describes very beautiful... we're waiting kind of for the Mashiach or the announcement or Eliyahu to tell us that it's time, you know. So he kind of envisions this scene. They've made some songs out of it. Ma'navu alaharim. And kind of when you're waiting for somebody to come, you look out on the mountain, you look out in the distance and you see them coming on the mountains, you know. In the old days, you used to look for, was it the posse, or you looked for the good guys who were coming, you know, were galloping to the rescue from the Indians, or the... But look out on the mountaintops. Sometimes the mountaintops refer to the forefathers, but Ragle Mevaser, we're almost there where we're going to see... sometimes what happened was that people would be losing a battle, and they're waiting for the reinforcements to show up. And they're looking and looking and looking. When's it going to come? How long can they hold out? So that's kind of the way it is in Exa. We're waiting for the announcer to come tell us that our suffering's over, that the comfort is here, that Hashem is ready, that it's time to come back. So you look on the mountaintops and you look for the feet of the announcer, Mashmiya Shalom. And the one who comes is going to bring peace. This, by the way, that's how we know that we don't have the Mashiach. That, you know, that's how we know that there's no, you know, Shabtai Svi wasn't the Mashiach, and that's how we know Yashka wasn't the Mashiach, and the Babishu Rebbe wasn't the Mashiach. We don't have questions about these things, because the when Hashem wants us to know that He's here, there's going to be peace. Jews won't be suffering. We have no doubts. People confuse what a Mashiach is. They have some strange ideas, but we know exactly what the Mashiach. When, you know, the suffering's going to end, and we're going to know it. It's not. It won't be hard to tell when the Mashiach is here. It's going to. He's going to come, and he's going to first think we're going to have shalom, peace. We're going to have no more fighting, no more troubles, no more armies. We won't have to go defend ourselves against missiles being shot from Gaza. I mentioned this before. Also, part of the reason that we don't like to say that the messianic times have begun, because we don't have peace. So how can you say? Well, we hear there's that prayer they in some synagogues where they say that the redemption has begun. So everybody agreed. They thought that the redemption had begun, like in 67 or in 48, and the Mashiach would come like immediately. But it didn't happen. So it didn't begin yet, because when it begins, we're going to have peace. That's the first thing.
But what are we in now? They say this is the birth pangs of...
This is the birth pangs, right.
But that's not a beginning?
Well, let me ask you, when a child is born, you know it.
That's for sure.
Before he's born, there's a lot of difficulties. The labor is labor. It's a lot of suffering. It's a lot of challenges. So everybody agrees that we're all hoping that we're at the end of the labor. You know, and that there's no more, and there's been false labors too. But we all know that we're hoping that we're at the end. But the problem we've had is from time to time we get a false Messiah who says the baby's here, no more suffering, and it just hasn't come true. So the point of it is that when the pain stops and when the suffering ends, then we'll know Mashiach. So Mashmiya Shah, he's going to bring peace, Mevaser Tov, and he's going to have the good announcement, Mashmiya Yeshua, and there'll be salvation, Omer Tzion, and Hashem will be the king. That's also part of it. There'll be the world will know that Hashem is king. Kol Safayek Nasu Kol, there'll be a voice that people will be talking about it. Yiranu, people will sing happy songs. Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru, and you'll be able to see it with your eyes. It won't be somebody won't have to tell you the good news. You'll be able to see it. B'shuv Hashem Tzion, Hashem has come back to Zion. Pitzku v'ranenu, and when that happens, there'll be so much joy in the world. It'll be like a huge joy together. Karbos Yerushalayim, ki nicham Hashem amo. Hashem will comfort His people and He'll redeem Yerushalayim. Hoshev Hashem is royal kodesho, and Hashem will show His arm. Some people say there's a reference to tefillin with the arm, but we shartim we talk about in Egypt. That's one of the reasons we have a shank bone. Is the shank is the arm of the Hashem. Used His outstretched arm. There's an idea that Hashem will use His power to help the Jewish people. And it'll be in front of all the nations. And people on the four corners of the world, no matter where they may be, wherever the Jews have been taken to, they'll see as Yeshua Selokeinu. They'll see the salvation of our God. Suru, suru. Now, when we come, a lot of times people won't want to come because they have a lot of wealth where they are, and they don't want to leave what they have. They kind of like it where they are. So Hashem says, you know what? When the Mashiach comes, you have to be willing to come back to Israel. You got to turn away from the impure stuff that you got. Subisham tameh al tigu, don't touch it. Mitocha chivu nosu klei Hashem. Now it's time to gather the vessels of Hashem. Verse 12. Now, when we left Egypt, we left in a big hurry. It was really when the announcement came, our bread didn't have a chance to rise. You know, it was like we knew we would leave eventually, but when it finally came, it was like, what do you mean? I got so much to do. We just got up and we left. You know, we grabbed our walking stick, we left. It says that we left b'chipazon. So here he says an interesting message that when the final Mashiach comes, it won't be so quick. We won't leave so quick. We'll have time to like pack our bags maybe or get ready. Hashem is going to go in front of you And guess what? He's going to have to gather up people too. There'll be people that are in the back that, you know, that fell behind that he has to pick up. U'masvachem Elokei Yisrael. And the God of Israel will pick up the rear guard. So it's a very beautiful, you know, moving prophecy. I'm enjoying this because many reasons I enjoy the class. But when you get to the Haftorah and Shul, you have something to look forward to.
Right.
Because you read it and you say, I remember this stuff. It's like such a, but it's really a very beautiful, moving message that Yeshayahu delivered to the Jewish people. And it's part of this process of coming close to Hashem that will lead us into the high holidays.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.